The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with the world-renowned, or at least to me, Nicholas Lemieux. This guy is in Edmonton, Alberta, which I just learned is in Canada. No, I actually knew that. But he's got his name is Lemieux. He's got a French accent. I went way out on a limb and said, come on, got to be a Montreal guy. And he put me right in my place. Not only is he not Montreal, he's not even close, but he is in Canada. This guy started World Cleaning in 2017. Like I said, serving Edmonton. Nick, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say thanks for having me on. I appreciate you and all the feedback that you give.
Pleasure. And, you know, usually this would be the point I make fun of Canadians, but I hate when I have a guest and they're Canadian. It's like, it's not cool. And the Canadian's just so sweet. He probably, oh, I'm sorry, man, it's my fault. So we're just going to treat Nick like the honored guest that he is and give no busting of Canadian chops just today. Next podcast is back on.
I appreciate that.
That said, before we hit into your question, I love, you know, I've done this so many hundreds of times and I feel like every story of getting in the cleaning industry is different. So I'd love a quick 60 second for the audience. How did you get in the cleaning business? What made you lose your mind?
World started off as a window cleaning company. So it was World Window Cleaning.
How'd you get into that?
I needed to build up some revenue from my I originally started a landscape company. And then,
so long story short, Nick started as a mechanic and 17, but you know, he just kept adding.
And then, went into, window cleaning. Cause I just found out that it was something that we could supply. And so we started doing window cleaning and then we got into window cleaning. I wanted a niche. So I just sort of focused on window cleaning. And then, clients were asking if we would do a cleaning service as well or janitorial. And I said, absolutely, without even thinking about it.
And most entrepreneurs I know. Yes, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, well, you have money? Sure, let's light this candle.
And so after a couple of years of World Window Cleaning, I decided to change the name to World Cleaning LTD. And went from there.
Awesome. Well, I love that. Again, it's so funny. Well, all right. One, because I don't think I've ever had this that I can recall. I just picture you like in the hot sun or cold, actually for Canada, maybe cold, whatever that is, snow. And they're like, you want to do window cleaning? You're like, well, it's closer to the building. Maybe at least I'll have some cover. I won't get snowed on. And they're like, you want to clean the inside of the building? Like with the air conditioning or the heat? Absolutely. I just see you getting like closer and closer until you're like, I'm in the house or I'm in the building. Go ahead.
Yeah, what got me drawn towards the cleaning is with Canada, the weather is always, you're always working around the weather, whether it's raining or you get snow. It's just Mother Nature.
Explain the snow. What is this? I've heard tale. But
it's basically frozen rain.
Smells awful. You're not encouraging me or Cleaning Nation, you know, come north for those of us, you know.
Absolutely not. It is not pleasant.
I said something to Nick before the show that as he mentioned, I'm like, you know, I feel like we should get Cleaning Nation in on this and we'll let you hit your question, my friend. So as we're talking about like, what's the difference between, you know, landscaping versus windows versus janitorial versus residential, having had, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 businesses from, you know, a car dealership to a coaching company to obviously a cleaning company to manufacturing to what else do we do? Contracting, bunch of stuff. The biggest lever that I think I took a long time for me to get till I'd had a bunch of businesses is recurring revenue. So, and if you look at software companies trading at 10 times value and construction company like I had trading at like 2 times earnings, like why would people overpay for that? Because if I had a construction company that cost me $100,000 to open the doors every day, I had zero revenue at the beginning of the month. Like if we had work in progress, obviously that was going, but I had to resell every, when that job's done, there's got to be another one and another one. And it's just, you're constantly selling just to stay even, right? And one of the magic things about the cleaning business, it's not sexy, which I love, because you can kind of sneak in, you know, like at a car dealership, semi-sexy, lots of competition. There's still no recurring revenue. Hated that part of it. Not a good business, by the way. Very sexy, not cool. Like, it's so funny. I tell people, I coach owners of cleaning companies, by far the best business I've been in. Least sexy. If you ever are at a dinner party and someone asks you what you do and you do not want to talk with that person, tell them you coach owners of cleaning companies. You will have no follow-up questions. If you want to talk, tell them you own a car dealership. They'll have questions. So the cool thing about owning a cleaning company is the recurring revenue, and the more recurring, the better. So landscaping, I like, because that's typically, I'm guessing, monthly or more frequently. Window cleaning, I like less. So the two negatives with landscaping and window cleaning is it's the frequency for window cleaning. The frequency is probably at best quarterly or monthly, like at best. And like you said, a lot to do with the weather, real seasonal, right? So yeah. my perfect business, aside from, you know, cleaning company, which obviously I'm a fan of, recurring, not seasonal. Like even with Airbnbs or stuff like that, where there's, you know, oh my gosh, you know, June through August, we're slammed, but then nothing in November. That's tough. Or I've even worse, we only go once or twice a year. So I've got 1,000 clients, but all my average client value lifetime is $1,200 or something like that. Yeah, you sign up a little residential cleaning company or a little home that you do twice a week for $400 and they stay 10 years. That's like a $50,000 contract. God forbid you're in commercial and they pay, you know, $3,000 a month and they stay 10 years. It's like $500,000. So, and my math is a little sloppy, but it's a lot more than I'm cleaning your daggum windows every quarter. And then of course, residential cleaning and commercial cleaning really doesn't depend on the weather, right? As long as you can physically get your people on site, it's not going to be, well, it's snowing, it's raining, it's this, it's that, don't come. Whereas, you know, landscaping, I don't know how much snow on the ground, like, what do you want me to do, brother? Like, I can get, you know, ply your driveway. And after that, I don't know that we're really going to do much with the petunias. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, with the landscaping, so for winter, then we would do winter contracts and we just sign people up for a monthly contract. And the only problem is if it snows every day, you're out every day. So
anytime it's the work goes up and down, like even Airbnbs, like, oh no, they're recurring. They'll do 10, 20 turns a month. It's like, yeah, but you don't know when, or even worse, construction cleanup, move in, move out. Like we got 13 move outs today and then nothing for 2 weeks. Like it's just so hard to scale. Okay. Enough of the rant. You didn't call for any of that. What's the question? How can I help you today, my brother?
Just getting the mindset of both our team and our clients to give us their credit card number just so we can get them put into the system and have reoccurring revenue. Just get them punched in, have it like Netflix or insurance where it just automatically gets put through.
Perfect. I love that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Some people are, they want that right away, and then other people are a little resistant to it.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because we do talk about that and certainly in our coaching and for the podcast, you probably heard me allude to that, but I don't know how often or if we've done a podcast where like, here's exactly how to do that. So let's dive into that. First, I want everyone to understand the why that's important before we talk about how to do it. Some of you are like, what does that matter? I've been in lots of fast growth companies, and the crazy thing about fast growth, which I'm assuming most of us are like, either in fast growth or we would like to be in fast growth. If you're listening to this podcast, like I would like to stay the same or grow very slowly, feel free to bug out now. I don't know that this is not what we're here to help you do. So if you're looking to be fast growth or in fast growth, cash, when you're growing fast, depending on your billing or payment policies, I'll give you a perfect example. When I had my construction company, we were net 30. And I talked about my first year making $500,000 in profit. And I was so excited because, you know, we were paying tax. I wasn't excited about paying tax on $500,000, but I was pretty excited about on right there on my P&L, $500,000+ right there in a year's work. I thought I was so cool. And I went to my bank account like, all right, let's get some of those $500,000. And yet there was just the regular operating amount I had last year. Like, how could this be? Well, I also went to what's called our accounts receivable, which had gone up $500,000 because I grew, right? Every time I took on new work, that was another receivable, right? I'm going to do the work now. I'm going to get paid later. So basically all of my profit, and God forbid, I had $500,000 of receivables and I hadn't made $500,000 of profit. I'd had a negative in my account going, how did I go from, you know, 3 million to 4 million, but somehow I have less profit because if your receivables grow faster than your profit, you're literally out of business. And most people, including myself when I was younger, think or thought that businesses go out of business because of lack of profit. We're not making any money. They don't. The vast majority go out of business because of lack of cash. Profitable businesses go out of business for lack of cash much faster than unprofitable businesses. Amazon would be a great example, who have cash. So we think it's profit, and it should be. It's not. It's, well, I shouldn't say to win. To win, you want profit and cash. But to not close the doors, cash is like oxygen, right? So say I'm 600 pounds. That's a bad deal, right? I'm going to lose life expectancy for sure. And I should address that. But if I can't breathe, I'm going to die in the next 3 minutes. So cash is breath. And profit is your overall health. But if you are the healthiest guy in the world, and I put my hand over your mouth and your nose, you might be healthy as can be. You're going to be dead as can be in about 3 minutes, right? So oxygen is cash. Doesn't matter how profitable or healthy your business is. You miss a payroll, your employees are gone, your business is gone. It unravels pretty quick. So one of the many reasons getting paid in advance is so important is if you're going to grow fast, you better have access to capital, or you're going to have to not be a bank, which is what we do. And we're like, I will do the work now and you can pay me later. You're really saying I'm a bank. The problem is, have you run their Dun & Bradstreets? The answer is no. Do you know what a Dun & Bradstreet is? The answer is no. Do you have capacity to run it if you did know what it was? The answer is still, do you know how to read it? Do you know how to look at their quick ratio, their asset? Do you know how to look at the ratios? Of course the answer is no. And why would you? You're a freaking cleaning company. None of this makes any sense. Are you getting paid interest? The answer is no. Do you have collateral? No. There's all these things that banks have, we don't have. And they're like, hey, on top of running your cleaning company, which is a lot of daggum work for those of us that know, could you be a bank? And you're like, I guess. And this isn't a regular bank that makes a ton of money. This is a not-for-profit bank. So they have all these assets and stuff, but they could charge a bunch of interest so they can pay the assets and have money left over. You're not going to get any of that. You're going to do it for free. That's an insane proposition. Finally, bad debt, guys. Say your business is, and I hate to, our clients, we look for a 30% net profit, but say your average and you're like 15 or 20, call it 20, 20% net profit. So say you make $100,000 in revenue or $1 million in revenue. Let's say 100,000, just to make the numbers easier, 10,000. And you, that's $2,000 in profit. Well, guess what? One little $2,000 a month account, if he doesn't, and they don't, by the way, say, I'm not going to pay, they lie to you. So it's net 30. So they owe you now $2,000. And then you don't cut them off that day. You probably don't even notice till net 45, right? And then you call them like, hey man, we didn't get the check. What's shaking? They go, oh, Susie in accounting, she's off. She'll, but no problem, man. As soon as she gets back, blah, blah, blah. And then that 60, you're like, what's going on? Oh my gosh, is it you? Or da, da, da. Well, and then now you're in really $6,000, right? Because there's the 30 days you were cleaning without getting paid. And then the net 30 is the first month after that. And then at six. So there's, you started, the payroll clock started ticking for you 90 days ago, $6,000 ago. They paid you nothing. So if they, and now you're in a heck of a spot, because if you go at the beginning, day one, if you go, I'm not going to clean if you don't pay, either they pay or they don't, but you got no skin in this game. Now you got $6,000 in the game and you go, you don't clean, I don't pay. They go, great, I guess we'll pay you nothing and we'll just go to the next guy and we'll start all this party again. And you'll go, I'll sue them. Good luck with that. You can't put a lien on their building. Maybe you win. Who knows? Because again, they're not going to go to court and go, yeah, Nick screwed me, never showed up. Or no, Nick was great and they did a great job. We're just dirtbags. They're going to be like, he was a liar and he never showed up. And, you know, they let my dog free and there's a Van Gogh on the wall and they stole. Like, they're gonna, who knows what they're going to say? So you don't know if you're going to win or lose. And even if you win, you spend $12,000 to get a $6,000 judgment, which isn't cash. It's just a judgment saying they should pay you. The whole thing's a mess. So there you go. Rant over on why it's so important to get paid in advance, because we got to get the why before we do the what. Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show. All right, to your question. And I love what you said right off the bat, Nick. You go, what is the mindset, or what do I have to believe, or how do I have to train my employees? It is completely that. So we've given scripts and they're really not valuable. It's not the magic words that you say. It is how you go about it. So when Netflix, which was a great example that you used, charges their $12. I don't know. I'm a customer. I have no idea what they charge. We'll call it $15. Don't even email me and yell at me that it's cheaper, more expensive. I get it. We'll call it 20 because it's super round. Look, Netflix is just getting more and more valuable by the second. So they don't go, would it be okay? Do you mind? Is it all right? they just say, we put in the credit card and then you may have the services. And you cannot put in the credit card, okie dokie, or you can put in the credit card, but there is no, and you could probably call customers. I don't even know if they have customer service that you can call, but let's pretend in some world they do and go, this is bull crap. How dare you? And they're going to go, sir, do you want the deck? You want it or not? Right. And they're not interested. They're not going to, and they're not going to have a like, we're so embarrassed. I'm so sorry, Mr. Lemieux. I know it's, we're such a scam and we could run off to Mexico with your credit card, but you're just going to have to trust us. And would it be, that would freak you the heck out. You're going to get some very disinterested low wage employee going, are you calling to put in your credit card? No. Okay. Are you a client? No. Get off my phone. Like, goodbye. That's it. Right. So the only, and you're like, well, Netflix is different than us. Granted. You want to know the difference? The difference is they're very good at getting clients and they know how to get more and we don't. So all of our services, guess what? We get a credit card in advance. And I don't go, hey, Nick, I know my coaching is expensive and whatever. Would it be okay? I go, awesome. If I think you're a good fit, here's what it costs. Here's what we can go. Give me the credit card. We'll get started. And Nick can go, well, I don't. And by the way, we never get that. I should say never. 1 in 100 would probably be reasonable. Someone's like, I don't know if I trust you. And we're on the daggum phone, by the way. Like, you're in the dude's business house with your physical body in his space. And again, the likelihood he's like, this guy's going to take my credit card and run to Mexico is, that's what we say in America. Maybe you guys in Canada run to America. I don't know. Wherever Canadians run with credit cards, that's where you're going. So, A, you just have to have a belief of this is how business is done. And most importantly, you have to go, you're judging me. I'm judging you, right? Because what he's asking you for a loan. And sometimes we go, oh, I'm so, we feel weird. I can't get another customer and this is a big account. I can't afford to lose it. So we put ourselves in this, what's the opposite of submissive position that is complete. Could you imagine going to the bank and asking for money? And they're like, well, you know, I don't know if we're going to loan it. You got to fill out this credit app. And you go, what the heck, man? I don't think I'll just take my business elsewhere. They're going to go, get the heck out. Fine. Right? So they're literally coming to you hat in hand, ask, please provide. And these are typically on commercial, larger, multi-million dollar companies if they need a cleaning service. And on residential, if you're doing it right, these are million dollar homes, right? So they have money. And especially on the business, it might be $100 million business. He's like, you need to float me $1,800 a month for your freaking services. Are you out of your god dang mind? Could you imagine that? So we go in like with our hat in hand, but they're the ones borrowing from us. When we go to the bank and go, hey, can you give me some money or services up front? Your hat should be in hand because you're asking for a favor. But if you went in getting all flippy, hey man, if you want me to be your bank, you loan me some daggum money and then we'll see how it goes. You're going to get thrown just like in the cartoons, you know, one hand on your backside, one hand on your thing and right out the front window. So A, we just have to understand they're asking for money. We are not a bank. So the reason I can be definitive on my coaching, getting paid in advance, I know we're really good at what we do. And if you don't want it or can't afford it or think you want me to extend you credit, just piss right off. Two, I know how to get customers. We get about 200-300 applicants a month. We'll take a dozen. So it's fine. We'll get the next guy or the guy after that. It's fine. And I look at, wait a second, the fact that you want me to lend you money is a red flag for you as a client, not the other way around. So when you go in and a business goes, can we get that on credit? If they won't say, can we get it on credit? They'll use a big fancy term like, okay, we pay net 60. Translated, can we get that on credit? Your answer is no, I'm a little business. And quite frankly, I'm a little concerned. This looks like a multi-million dollar business. There's only one of two reasons that you would be going net 60. One, you don't have the money to pay my bills, and that concerns me. And I got to tell you guys, you're like, oh no, this is a big company. Enron was a big company. For you kids out there, look that crap up. Multi-billion dollar company, and they went bankrupt, and I guarantee you their cleaners all the way up to a bunch of other people did not get paid. So it doesn't matter how much money they have. Same thing, you know what put Enron out of business? They ran out of cash. they couldn't get any cash to pay payroll. So all that to say, A, they're unable. They're so tight that they're like, I don't know they're going to be able to pay you. That's a red flag. That's a big flat. And they're going to be bold about it. They're not going to go, I got to be honest with you, Nick. We are barely scraping by. Would it be okay if we paid you net 30? Because I don't know that we have the money now. They're never going to say that. They're going to get all huffy and puffy. Hey, Nick, obviously you're professional here. We're a large company. The way that we go through purchasing is 100% of his net 60. And if that, fine, be all the puffy you want to get. If you'd like me to do the daggum work, I will take money. If you're in Canada, you take the fake Monopoly money. Here in the States, actual real money. Sorry, man. I know Nick's like, you said you're what, just the only one, buddy. They're at their money. No,
it's true. Don't even get me started on the money.
It's no fun to pick on the Canadians. They're like, let me get on your side and pick on us too. I'm like, dang it, Nick, that's no fun. So it's either that, or we have plenty of money. They're not trying to hide anything, but we have $20 million in payables. And if we can hold on to that $20 million for an extra month, the interest on that money is a substantial amount. And that's how we work. Fantastic. When you've got another big vendor that has $200,000-$300,000 a month of services coming in, and he's got his things and it's all the way down the chain, I get that's shrewd negotiating to be like, hey, we're gonna hold the money. Fine. You are not that. Your little $2,000, however much it costs you to clean, it's gonna be less than 1% of their profit and loss. It is a very small, and less than 1% of 1% of their balance sheet, right? So what I would tell them is, look, dude, you holding my $1,800 for 45 days is going to make you $53 in interest or $6. I don't know what it is. It's going to be a very nominal amount. To you, that's nothing. To me, it's a big daggum deal. I'm a very small business. I pay my labor. I can't afford to do this. If you need a bank or someone that's fancy and sophisticated, really what they're looking for is someone unsophisticated that doesn't know, God bless, go get it. So either you can't pay your bills or you're trying to grind me for $42 on money because you can. I'm not going to do that. I work equally with my people. I want to take great freaking care of you. You're going to walk in, this place is going to feel good. It's going to look good. Something goes wrong, I got your back. But if I'm worried about you paying your dadgum bill, I'm worried about you paying your dadgum bill. I do not want to be worried about that. Same with coaching, right? If I let Nick into my program, he's the one dude that didn't pay and he needs some help. How motivated am I to pay the mooch, to help the mooch when everyone else paid? Not real. And how fair is it to the other clients? Also not fair. So I think the big thing is just understanding the situation. They are asking for an interest-free loan without running credit because they want to bully you. And it's either because they can't pay, red flag, or they're trying to make some money on the interest, which makes sense at a large scale, but to grind a little. And by the way, we are the opposite with our vendors. If you're like, well, how do you pay your people? In advance, always cash on the barrel head, no problem. Because of the same thing, our vendors, the people that work with us, are all little people. The money means a lot to them. We never hold their money. As quick as we can process it, we process it. So, and I by the way, this works for you janitorial companies too. If you have a vendor that is a small business like you and you're cash positive, which you will be if you do it this way, pay them in advance. All of our vendors love us because we freaking pay on time. I guarantee you, we could, you know, squeeze it out 30, 60, 90 days and make a nickel on the daggum interest and our vendors would hate us. Or we're their favorite because we always pay in advance. So it goes both ways. All right. That said, yeah, that's a long rant, Nick. Questions, comments, rude remarks, Canadian wise sayings, what you got?
I totally get it. The next is just getting our team members to sort of wrap their mind around charging, like taking the credit card and getting it processed.
That's the easiest part in the world. Because when you, so like same thing, we'll go to the coaching thing. If I'm enrolling Nick personally, it's a little weird, right? Because I'm like, hey, this is my company. Can I have your money, please? It's fine. Like I would do it. That's how we do it. So if I'm enrolling you, you're going to give me your credit card. That's just how it goes. But that could be a little weird or wobbly or what. Same with collections. I don't do any like, you know, for our monthly payments or whatever. If Nick's thing doesn't go, I'm not going to call Nick and like, I got an account to do that. For that exact reason, I want to focus on Nick and not be like, hey, dude, I don't even know who, obviously they paid or they get removed from our program. But if someone's late or has a, whatever, anything like that, it's all handled by accounting for this exact reason that you're talking about, Nick. So if I called, hey, dude, you owe me some money, whatever. And by the way, if you're like, why would they owe money? Take money in advance. We have a upfront program where you can have two payments or a monthly program. It's fine. But they still pay in advance. And by the time they've consumed the coaching they have and their next payment is due for further coaching, that's when we take them out. All that said, have an accountant do that because it just would be a little weird. So she has no things. My accountant doesn't. She has no emotion about it. It's just her job. So when she calls Nick and he's like, hey, dude, you owe us some money. And you're like, I don't have it. Or screw you. Or I'm not going to pay it. She's like, okay. So do you want me to take you out of the program? Like, she has no thoughts. Like I would have an emotional response. Like, oh no, Nick, did I do a bad job? You know, I would be She's like, this is my job. Same with the Netflix person, right? Like whoever the owner of Netflix is, and how do I get my people to comply? He goes, this is how we do it. Like there's no, so if my employees, if I had a commercial cleaning or cleaning company, would be like, this is a salesperson you'd be talking about, there should be a cleaner, right? So the salesperson, if they want step one, go through our sales process for the people that want in, go, great, I need your credit card and we'll get you on the schedule. Well, I don't have a credit card. Well, I can't get you on the schedule. Where would you like to go from here? Like, there's nothing to talk about. It's like, there's like Netflix doesn't have a guy going, oh crap, Nick's asking to, you know, get the service without paying. I'll do it, Nick. No, they're like, we don't do that. And they
Some people are funny. Like, they would rather give you their bank information than a credit card, which is
me, just to be clear, yeah, I'm fine with that. So believe it or not,
yeah,
we're going to wrap this because it's going long. Believe it or not, yeah, I prefer bank information. So bank information is irrevocable, and there's no fee, or it's a very, very small fee. So if they, I have to give you a routing number, checking account number, that's even better. So I'm not all about credit cards. I'm just all about getting paid in advance. So even I personally wouldn't take cash, but I'll take cash in advance over a credit card that is 30 days late. That's for daggum sure. So don't worry about the methodology. It's I get paid before I do the work. That's the key. And I'm not going to chase you. So if they're like, I'll send you a check, go, great. And I wouldn't do it. But if you were going to take a check, fantastic. Either the check will be here on the first and we will show up, or it won't be and we won't. But okay. I got lost in the mail. Yeah. Okay, well then we're not. So just you want on the schedule. Great, we require money.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have money, or we're not going to give you money. I'll give you money in the future. Great. When we get the money, you can be on the schedule. Until then, best of luck. Like, just you see how I have no emotional like weirdness about it, because I'm like, I appreciate you wanting a loan for me, but that's not, you called me. It's almost, you called me to sell you a clean. Hey, I need help with my cleaning. I come in and talk to you about it. And you're like, by the way, can I borrow $500 a month? What the heck just happened? No, you can't borrow $500 a month. If you want my services, you pay for them. What kind of great clown world are we living in? Right. Does that make sense, or did I miss?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it. I'm just trying to pass on the mindset and just talk people into my beliefs of how we should be taking payment. And
well, that's a cool thing. I would even the verbiage of talk people into, I would kill. I don't talk people into anything. I just say, if you would like our service, this is what needs to be. So again, Netflix isn't going to talk you into it. Like if you call them, or the gym, or your mortgage company, or your car payment company, or Disneyland, or whoever, pick one. They're not going to talk you into it. You go to Disneyland, you're like, I'd like into your park. Like that'll be $150. Can I pay in a month? No, they're not going to be like, well, hold on, let me explain. And we're Disney. They're not going to say anything other than get the heck out of my line. Next. So don't, you see what I'm saying? We're not getting the talking into, or that, because again, talking into almost implies or assumes we're trying to trick them into something fishy, right? There's nothing to talk into. Just like, I don't want to pay. Okay. So you said you wanted the services. We need to get paid. Pick one. I'm okay. I'm not going to talk. See what I'm saying? You see how there's zero talking into. It's just, you want the services, give me money. You don't want to give me money, you don't get the services. Pretty clear there. What would you like to see happen next? Well, I'm not going to pay you. Best of luck. See how there's no talking into. There's just go to the ice cream stand and ask for an ice cream without giving them money. They're not going to talk you into anything. They're just going to be like, we need the money, dude. And you're like, well, I don't have it. Okay, we don't get ice cream.
Yeah. No, I think I knew the answer, and it just took talking to you to make a clear picture.
Only my friend Nick would let me scream at him like a crazy person for 20 minutes and be kind enough and generous enough to thank me. All right. Cleaning Nation, really love that you guys tune in. I know there's plenty of places to pay your attention. Hopefully this was a ton of value. Give some feedback, stuff you like, stuff you don't like, anything about Nick personally that you don't like, just email me personally. I'll get it taken care of. Totally kidding. Nick's been great. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. I think we're almost at 1,000 podcast episode. Totally free. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com. Check it out now. See you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431, 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.